Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Hello, Charlottesville. Welcome along to the first Blokes on the Bench of the new season. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark. And David.
So, these headphones are really loud.
Well, hey, it's great to be back, right? I mean, we've been waiting for this day for quite some time.
Not only just to go on air. Luckily, we had the World Cup to hold us over, but...
Yeah, much to my wife's chagrin. She's like, does the season ever end? This off season, not really.
Right. and I don't know, you know, it hasn't felt to me like there's been a break in football, even though there has been.
And for a lot of the players, I mean, you're seeing that with Spurs and some of the other teams that had a lot of players that went deep in the World Cup. They didn't even get back to training until like Tuesday or something like that, because they needed what they say, like 20, 21 days after of rest after a season, so you don't break your metatarsal or whatever, you know, in December, you know, the typical stuff that happens to Arsenal.
Ooh.
Thanks, Alex.
How are you feeling, by the way?
Now we're back.
How are you feeling, Mark, with a new manager, Emery?
I feel good. I don't think we totally played that well today. Obviously, you know, starting the season even at home with the reigning champions, that was always going to be a tough game. But it's going to take a little while to get this system to work, but I think it will.
So you think he was the right guy for Arsenal?
Yeah. It's funny because he wasn't really totally, you know, news-wise on the radar. There was a lot of talk about Mikel Arteta coming in, and I think a lot of Arsenal fans weren't really happy about that. But, yeah, it seems like the guy's got the pedigree. I think he's going to, you know, shake things up in the locker room in a good way. He's brought in some experience, some young players. I think it's going to work out for sure.
And we do have a new bloke today. This is obviously David. David is a Newcastle fan. I want to ask you, by the way, how on earth did you become a Newcastle fan?
Well, it was a while back. It was before that movie that came out that everybody says, well, you know, it's because of that movie. Was it Goal?
I think it was, yeah.
You know, you became a Newcastle fan, and no, it's before that. You know, before I mean, my dad used to watch the Premier League in his country and some games, and Newcastle came on because of Espria, the Colombian. So that's how it became. Yeah,
there you go.
So how are you feeling about this season with Newcastle?
It's gonna be a fight for relegation.
Really?
Yes. I mean, you saw it yesterday against Spurs. We're unlucky. Unlucky, we hit the bar, what?
Twice, right?
Twice.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that, for the most part, Newcastle are a solid squad. You guys were, what, 10th last year?
10th, yeah. And with the same players, but, I mean, we got Key and Rondon.
Yeah, there's not much change in the squad. I think that Benitez has his work cut out for him again this year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't like Dummett playing left back. I think he's garbage. To be honest with you, I mean, he came out of Newcastle Academy, but he's not good at all.
Right.
But that's my opinion. You know?
Sure, yeah. I mean, hey.
So what does everyone feel about the transfer market and how, you know, all the clubs voted last year to close the window early? Does anyone have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you're asking, so like, for I guess what we should say is that the Premier League...
Is it a good idea?
The window is closed, right, and the rest of Europe is still open, which means that any English player, or not English player, but player on an English team could potentially be bought by another team, and you can't bring a replacement in if it's someone that you need. So in that way, it's foolish, because it gives an advantage to the rest of Europe. Pochettino has said the same thing. I know some of the other big clubs didn't like it. They voted this into action in the spring, and the reports that came out then were that a lot of the big clubs did not want it, but the little ones did, because they felt like their players were being poached late and then they couldn't find a replacement. So that's kind of the history there. I mean, it's really bad because let's say Pogba leaves United. Let's say like someone gets him, you know, offers big money. It's already happened by Barcelona. He refuses to train or something. This is all hypothetical, of course. I mean, that'd be real bad, right?
Right.
And you couldn't bring anyone in. I mean, you'd be totally screwed.
But that's what I'd been hearing, is that clubs like Barcelona are just kind of hovering around now, just kind of waiting to poach players because there is nothing.
Can you switch? Well, can they switch players? Let's say player for player. If another club comes in,
can I don't you think you can bring a player in. So
they swap, can't switch.
I don't think swaps are. I don't know that definitively, but I'm pretty sure swaps are not allowed.
Because that if that's the case, then
it's crazy.
It is.
Why did they even do it though? What was it? Because I mean, this was a vote, right, for the club.
It was the smaller teams were the ones that felt like you need to have a set team at the beginning of the year. They didn't like starting the league and, like, let's say, like Ryan Sessegnon for Fulham, for instance. Young guy, really good. They don't want all the rumors around him for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the league, where he may get unsettled because some report, you know, in the Sun, which is usually making stuff up, they're like, oh yeah, Spurs are going to buy him, or Liverpool or Newcastle, whoever. You know, it's just like a lot of the rumors that come out are just that. They're just manufactured for the clickbait. And so the clubs all have to deal with that. And, you know, that was basically the reason that they did. They were just like, the smaller ones didn't like the fact that players were getting unsettled. The bigger ones had enough depth that they could overcome it if one player was not feeling great. So,
but, I mean, that's come to bite a few clubs in the butt. I mean, United, we've only bought, Fred, Delort, and Lee Grant. I mean, that's pretty much our business. I know that...
Hey, that's three more players than Spurs bought, so...
Yeah, but I mean, like, well, I don't know. I mean, we did finish second last year, and people are, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think the top four will be? I mean, obviously, it's early days. I mean, very early days. It's a,
I mean, I see City winning, Liverpool. Hopefully, we'll challenge them. And then from there, it'll be Spurs, United in some order of those, and then probably Arsenal, Chelsea also. Probably most people say are on the outside looking in, but I think you saw Chelsea the other day, they looked really strong, and Arsenal didn't look the best today, but you played the champions. I still think Arsenal will be in the top four at some point during the league, and hey, if things work out, they could even be there at the end.
Well, yeah, it's just, I think it's the same thing. I think the same thing as he does. I mean, it's going to be a City to lose.
City don't win it, it'll be a pretty major upset. Yeah, I mean, and Liverpool, obviously, are the closest contenders.
Liverpool and Tottenham.
I think Liverpool are the strongest challengers because they were strong last year, and then they bought a number of players. They've improved the squad in basically everywhere that you said there was a weakness. And Spurs are the youngest team in the league. At least they were the youngest team in the league last year. I'm not sure what the number is this year, but obviously, there's still a young squad, and I mean that's good. I mean, that means that with another year of games, yeah. I mean, I think that they could really of losing. Come on, win
misery.
It. Oh, misery.
Well, I think Arsenal will be a surprise. I think they'll be up there trying to win second, third.
Do you think that Arsenal will finish above Chelsea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Arsenal above
100%.
That question, that's a good question. I think yes, by the quality of players.
How do you feel about that, Andy?
What did you say? I wasn't listening. You're talking fine. Ron?
Arsenal will finish the league ahead of United.
No. No chance. Not on today's
Did you see that Uruguayan play holding? He's good.
We played the league champions.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? The guy with like the David Luiz hair?
It's Torreira.
Yeah. You see his mistake at the end?
Yeah, that guy too.
Nonetheless, he actually looked
pretty good, man. That kid's young.
Yeah, that guy looked legit.
And Torreira, when he came in, he looked good. So those are two good signings.
All right, so we need to talk about something that I know was posted on the Charlottesville EPL page regarding pricing. And, you know, businesses, obviously TV channels are business. They want to make money. When they see gold in them hills, they run for it. And... you know, 2016, we could watch pretty much all the games we wanted. It was all on TV. It was all spread across all the networks. And this was including Champions League and
Yeah, no Europa. Subscriptions or anything.
And then this World Cup.
But you couldn't watch that. Champions League in Europa off games. I think you still had to pay for the Fox whatever.
Yeah, Fox Plus or whatever it was. Yeah. Fox 2.
But like, yes, for NBC, for instance, you could watch any game streaming.
Right.
And then last year they introduced Gold. And of course It's back with a vengeance.
And Gold isn't too bad, I don't think. I mean, like, I was hesitant, but it does have some good features on the channel.
Gold is decent, but then I think I know where you're going. Champions League and Europa League, right?
What, they got bought off by, I can't remember
it's
who.
It's like TNT and TBS. Yeah.
Right, Turner Sports. Right. And so they basically said, you know, you're going to have to pay for the Champions League games. Well, some of them are going to be on TV, I guess.
Less games than last year, right?
Right, and then Europa is not going to have any apart from the final. Which and I don't even know, can you watch the Europa on the paid channel?
Yes. Okay. So basically TNT or Turner Sports. Yeah. Is starting their own streaming sports channel.
It's turning into Netflix, you know, where people like the BBC take their stuff off and start their own channel. And, you know, before you know, I mean, here's the thing. If you buy Xfinity or Comcast or whatever cable provider, that should be enough.
It's like, $100+ for most people. I'm paying $170 or something crazy.
Are you paying for it? Are you doing it?
No, I'm saying for Comcast. And then, of course, then it's like, oh, well, we don't give you all the games. Well, you have to buy this NBC Gold package or whatever.
Yeah, and then they took off Bein Sport on Comcast.
So. Yeah, what was that about?
Money.
So wait, Bein is no longer on Comcast?
No. Like 30-something of this month, they're going to, you know, come up with the number or whatever you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I may just have to get it. The streaming be an equivalent, you know, and then it's another Facebook. One to watch the Spanish league.
You hop on Facebook and just watch the games there. I mean, that's what some people did last year. I know that.
Yeah.
People Facebook living their own TV channel.
And then everything would get cut off, and you had to go back on and watch another one. All right, so let's cut to the games then. So the first game of the weekend was Manchester United versus Leicester City on Friday evening. Excuse me. It was good to see Shaw
get the goal. It was kind of a lucky goal. Right. It looked like he was trying to cross the ball back in, and it went like right over the defender's head, and then he like lunged at it and scored.
So, I mean, you're obviously not none of you lot are a United supporter by any stretch of the imagination, but what did you make of the United game?
Well, they got manhandled by Leicester City. I have 55... possession for Leicester City.
Yeah, 30 something for.
That's embarrassing for a big club like that, especially at home.
Yeah, I didn't think United looked that strong. Obviously, they have a lot of players that are still coming back from the World Cup and getting fit, but at the same time, without that penalty.
But did you see Alexis?
Yeah, he looked awful.
Yeah,
he looked really bad,
and he's been off all summer, so you know maybe that's why. But also, he doesn't have the excuse of he's tired. I mean, he's been resting the whole summer. I'm like, because Chile didn't go to the World Cup, of course.
Well, in Matic, he got operated, surgery. So, and then he'll probably be 2 months before he comes back.
So, wait, Matic got injured? Or just...
Well, I think he got injured last year, so he got operated.
Oh, so he's still recovering. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, I thought what was interesting was that for the United scored a PK, that was the first goal, and that Pogba took it. And I think that... First thing I thought was, is this Mourinho throwing Pogba a bone because of all the talk of Pogba leaving the team?
Yeah, give him the captaincy as well.
Yeah, give him all these things that show status, which, I mean, rightly so. I mean, he is probably the best player on the team, without a doubt, really. I mean, is there Alexis, maybe?
Well,
maybe
I don't know. Here's the thing. Everyone keeps talking about Alexis Sanchez. And, well, oh, he'll come out. He'll perform. Just give him a few. You know, how many times can you say, I'll give you a few more?
Yeah, he's never looked good for you guys.
Well, he's only been there 6 months.
Yeah, but all last year he didn't...
Like, all last year, again, six
last
months.
Last season, yeah. Well, yeah, he didn't look
but good. But what I'm saying is, from the 6 months that he joined us, which was in January, like, there's only so many excuses. No, I'm not saying that he won't turn it on. Maybe he will. Maybe this was the performance where Mo or somebody says to him, like, you know, you got to sharpen up.
He had a full preseason, so there's no excuse.
Right.
He should have played good.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where I'm swaying on this.
And I mean,
I think you just got to wait and see, right? That's what you.
It's the first
hope.
Game of the season, but you know, you still. Got
yeah, but
on.
At the same time, you got Martial sitting on the bench. Like, how many bad performances is it going to take for Mourinho just to pull the plug on him?
Yeah, but Mourinho hates Martial. It seems like all the talk this summer was so negative around him, and They did extend his contract, but I think that was for purposes of leverage to sell him eventually.
Yeah. Get more money.
Yeah, exactly. So that if the more years on a contract, then the more you have to buy him out, essentially.
Well, it's interesting, though, because we were talking on the board, and I know Jeremy was, like, crying about how to get Mo out and stuff like that. I was reading about it. So Mo gave Alderweireld, Maguire, all these names to the board, right? So Alderweireld, they were like, he's too old.
Yeah, he's 29.
So you're spending that much on that. Maguire,
he's like 25.
But the price was extortionate. And they were like, they're not.
It was going to be bigger than Van Dijk.
Here's the thing.
Maguire just signed with Leicester.
Yeah, he came from like Hull City last year.
So. Yeah. Regardless of whether, I mean, it has been shown that Mo is somebody that plays older players, the over 30 club. He doesn't trust younger players. But my question to you guys is, and your clubs as well, is like, does the manager not get leverage over the board? Shouldn't they? I mean, they know who they want, regardless of what the... If the board are saying, well, he's too old, he's a short-term fix, you know, Alderweireld is what they were saying.
Then they go to the coach, right? I mean,
right, the board aren't the one...
The board ultimately does the negotiations, and they say, this player is worth whatever they're worth, and if like, Tottenham for Alderweireld, they're saying that he's worth... They wanted, like, 70 million or something like that. And they're like, well, he's worth 35 is what I was hearing, that United were worth spending. You know, someone's got a cave, and in this situation, no one did. I mean, United cave, they just ultimately dropped out. But I think that you'll see Alderweireld leave the league. I think he'll go to, like, Barcelona or Juventus or someone that is looking to spend big money and ultimately be contenders outside of England.
The thing to that, though, is I think that United will probably make a move for him in January, when the prices are even more extortionate than they were in the summer.
Well, it depends if he plays. If he doesn't play, then they can ask for less, and they have an argument.
Yeah, he was on the bench, but ever since the contract disputes happened for Alderweireld, he hasn't played much. He's barely played.
You mean
played.
Ryan McLemore?
He's barely played, and it seems like he's been frozen out of the team. Granted, he was on the bench. He's been training with the first team, but he's not getting selected. Granted, Davinson Sanchez looks great, and Jan Vertonghen is playing the best football of his career, so.
Maybe it's legit.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, forget United then. Let's move on to Leicester.
Like, well, one sec. I mean, I think that... I want to quickly talk about Leicester.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
So Leicester, I think, looked strong. I mean, Vardy got another poaching goal.
Do you think they'll miss Mahrez?
They will miss Mahrez.
Yeah.
That one's going to hurt them. Granted, they still did decently in the league, and he wasn't really that good, 2 years ago, the year after they won the league. He was not as good, and then it took him a little bit of time this past year, last season, to get going as well. So they've had to work without him in the past, maybe not physically without him, but certainly not playing at his peak. So they have Damari Gray, right? And he looks... potential. And Iheanacho, I like him a lot.
James Maddison.
Maddison looks good. I think they have a lot of good players that are young that can step up. Go on about Maddison, though.
Oh, he played in second division. Wasn't the best starting 11 for second division. Came from Norwich. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah,
it's just it was too high intense for him at the first game, and so that's why he got...
Yeah, I mean, you got to adjust to the Premier League.
Yeah.
The Premier League's at a different level than the Championship, of course. But
he looked bright. I mean, him and Gray, I think that's going to be a good partnership.
Yeah, and I really like Iheanacho, who didn't really play that well or much until late in the season last year. So I think that they can play two up top and have Maddison and Gray on the wings and, you know, kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask this. Was it a handball from the Leicester City player, the penalty? It looks a little iffy to me.
It was a little iffy, yeah.
Sounds a little United to me.
Shush. I was going to say, one of the reasons, and listen, I'm not going to make excuses for United not buying players. Like, if you're a club of that size, you have to be aggressive in buying them. But one of the reasons that Harry Maguire didn't go and they put the price up was because Mahrez. Because there was this whole talk about how City stopped United getting...
Well, it doesn't matter. They bought a centre-back.
But it's nothing to do with City. City got Mahrez. It's a completely different thing.
Like, well, Leicester got another centre-back to replace Maguire.
Right. Right.
But, I mean, I think the things that were surprising to me were Boateng from Bayern Munich. Like, he was offered, and he called up Mourinho himself and said, I want to play for you, man. I think that's the biggest problem. players don't want to play for Mourinho because he plays nonsense. So defensive.
That's nonsense, and you've been reading too many newspaper articles that say that. You haven't heard it from any player that said it.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, it's just career suicide.
You can see the body language. That.
But you don't know. I mean, he's away from his family. I mean, my days of being a Mourinho...
Well, you should have left
are kind
Inter.
Of over, or nearly ending. He is very pessimistic. But this nonsense that players don't want to come play for the team that's finished second in the league, arguably one of the top four, top five clubs in the world, is nonsense.
Well, I think that the problem is that he's so defensive, and he basically parks the bus and doesn't go after games.
He parks the bus, though, in big games, I give you that, against Chelsea and City.
He parked the bus on Friday when he was up 1-0.
Against Leicester.
All right. Well, we can debate this. Thankfully, it's time to go to break, guys. The time is 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. Don't forget, by the way, if you want to call in and let us know what do you feel about the Premier League, who do you think is going to win it, the number is 4342-49470. All right, so Saved by the Bell there with United. Has anyone got any more thoughts or any more on the United-Leicester game?
So wait, you haven't said it yet. Where will United end this season?
Second or third.
With City winning?
Most likely, yes.
And I like his optimism.
Who would be second if
United,
you were
hopefully.
Third? Well, if United are third.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't. Liverpool, maybe, but they'll. My feeling of them is they may just bottle it like they always do, so I can't really
I highly doubt that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bottle it this year.
I highly doubt that.
But yeah, that's going to be one of. I think it's going to be City. I mean, obviously, as a United fan, I'm going to say that.
Sure. As a United fan, you're going to say City winning. Got it?
Shush. I think they're the team to beat this year.
Sure. I mean, I think that's conventional wisdom.
You can't argue with that.
I mean, I think the top four spots are going to be a lot more competitive this year than they were last year. Right. So, United just thinking they're going to scrape by like they did last year and finish second, like, that's not going to happen. The league's going to be way more competitive. You're going to have Liverpool. You know, the thing that's going to change is that Liverpool, this has been their MO for the last 3 or 4 years. They get up for the big games. You know, they come. They beat City. You know, they beat City last year. Fairly handily.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. Okay, so, like, Liverpool has to start spreading their eggs out and figuring out, like, well, we need to play the big games, but we also need to beat Burnley. And we need to and they'll bottle certain games. And I think that Klopp has probably told the squad that's kind of their Achilles heel. And I think they'll sort that out this year. They have more depth in their squad. I don't hold out a lot of hope for Chelsea. They just
even
haven't
with
looked
the new manager?
No, I don't think so. They just haven't held a lot of hope. And I think part of this, too, is that, you know, I think Hazard wanted to go with Courtois. You know, they've been talking about Hazard to Madrid for at least 2 seasons now. So
he even made, like, comments that said, the team knows what I want to do.
Yeah, and, so like, it's like, very, you know, like, I mean, here's the thing. If things start going south for Chelsea like they did, you know, a couple years ago, the season Leicester won, where they're the reigning champions and they finish mid-table, you know, if things start going south like that for them, I don't see them coming back from that. I don't hold up Chelsea like...
But I mean, like, for me,
I think Chelsea's probably going to finish fifth or sixth.
I think that's conventional wisdom, but Napoli looked so good, and that's where the coach for Chelsea came from last year. And they were one of the most fun teams to watch because they attacked.
Insigne is a great player.
And they went after it. And Chelsea, I mean, I think most people would say that Chelsea have better players than Napoli.
Yeah, but they're not playing in the Italian league.
Exactly.
This is the Premier League, so.
I agree. So I think Sarri has got to do a little bit of adjusting himself, but that positive way that he played, if it can translate, a big if, it translated well in the European games. Like, for instance, Napoli beat City. They were the first team to beat City last year. You know, that could mean that Chelsea could be one of the surprise teams as well. I think that there are, obviously, everyone says there are 6 teams that are going for the top four. For me, it's a toss-up. I mean, it's easy to say, well,
I mean, what about Burnley, you know? What if Burnley finishes above Chelsea?
It's possible, but I that's highly unlikely in my book.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played David Luiz yesterday. I mean, well, Saturday. And I don't think he's a good defender. I would have put Christensen. But, I mean, and he put Ross Barkley.
Yeah, I saw Barkley playing was an interesting move.
Well, it's funny, as an Arsenal fan, too, there are all these rumors about how Ramsey was going to go to Chelsea, and I was like, I would not be happy about that. I'm glad we held on to Ramsey, but, like, at the end of the day, like, how different of players are Barkley and Ramsey? I mean, I think Ramsey is rated a higher player, but, I mean, how many times is Chelsea going to continually make transfers that just, they already have the players there?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and Chelsea beat, what, Huddersfield 3-0 in this today?
Well, Huddersfield, I think, is going to go down.
Huddersfield, I mean, maybe. I think that a couple, at least one of the teams that stayed up last year that were newly promoted, like Huddersfield, are going to go down. I thought, like, some of the moves that Chelsea have made, though, like Jorginho, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but how are him and Conte going to play together?
Side by side, right?
I mean, maybe.
Well, Conte is a natural holding, but they want to push
Conte
him up
is the best holding midfielder in the world. Yeah, like, exactly. Let's not, like, try to act like that's not the case.
Exactly. So, I mean, what's wrong with that? And then having, like, a Pirlo-like player that is going to be there to pass and kind of link the defense to the attacking midfielders, that's what Jorginho's in there for.
Well, I mean,
for.
You know,
and
we
Conte's
can...
Conte's there to
I
to
agree
play
with
defense,
you.
Basically.
You can tell between last season and the season before, like, Modric going to United, like, that hurt the team a lot.
It did.
And, I mean,
yeah.
You're going to have Fabregas.
And Jorginho's,
like,
way better than Matic.
Going to do?
Jorginho's way better than Matic.
You think so?
Matic is better defensively, but Jorginho is way better offensively and a much better passer. And I'd much rather have him in my squad than Matic.
Well, I mean, what if it comes down to, like, playing Fabregas in deep-lying role?
That's fine, too.
With a holder beside him.
I mean, you could play all three of them.
Their best bet.
That's what Barcelona.
I mean, if
does,
I were the Chelsea coach, I would tell Fabregas to go up in the number 10.
What I don't understand is why they keep on loaning out Batshuayi, who went to Dortmund last year in the second half of the season and was very, very, very good.
Yeah, he
and
scored like 8 goals in 16 games, something like that.
I don't know the exact
that's
numbers.
That's a good return.
But I mean, it was even higher than that at one point, but then he got injured late. And then now he's back with, he's like in Spain somewhere.
Valencia.
Yeah, and exactly. I don't understand why they would, he's arguably better than Morata. It's not like Morata was that good last year.
I don't know about that.
Morata missed a bunch of sitters last year.
I knew he was going to be
a flop. If you were watching all the games last year, Morata, everyone was like, look, he can't score with his feet. He's very good with his head. But he can't score with his feet.
Well, I think he plays better with another striker. I think he's going to play better if they play with two strikers.
That's a good point you bring up. Like, when he came to the Prem, I told people, like, they're like, oh, this guy's going to be really good. And I'm like, if you look at his history, like, he's never been an out-and-out starter for any club he's played for. He wasn't at Madrid. He wasn't at Juve.
He was at Juve.
He was always...
There were other players there. He was on the rotation.
Well, he was with Tevez.
Yeah, I mean he always had someone good beside him, like you said, and like I think last year showed that guy was kind of a flop, and apparently he had some injury issues that they didn't totally publicize. But at the end of the day, like, he didn't even make the Spanish team for the World Cup.
But in the end, they played him as like in a 4-3-3. They played him up top with Willian and Pedro on the sides and.
I mean, if that's Willian not enough to get you goals, I don't know what is.
Well, like, Willian had an assist and Pedro had a goal, and it's like Morata was, he was there to like link up, but he wasn't spectacular.
He's what the English call mavericks. Like, they appear sometimes, but then they disappear in some games.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we need to move on. Wolves versus Everton. How does everyone feel about Wolves?
I think they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they attack. It's great to get an old... traditional team into the Premiership again. Going back to the Paul Ince days and all that. I mean, they've
yeah.
There was an interesting
Robert
thing.
Robert Plant's team.
There you go. And there was an interesting thing on NBC, not Gold, but just the NBC Sports on the app. They started interviewing a bunch of the fans around the ground of Wolves, and it was like It was you could tell that they were all in. It was like they were like, "Oh, I'm a fan because of my father." And they one person asked like one of the kids, it was like, "What happens? What would happen if you were not if you decided to be a fan of another team? Like, my family would disown me." It's like that kind of stuff. It was like it was great. I mean,
well, they better do something. Ryan, they get 12 new signings.
Hey, Ryan Gregg's dad's a Wolves fan.
Oh, there you go.
Greggy, we miss you, buddy.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so fun to watch.
I mean, I only got to see
I only got to see
the second half of that game, I want to say. But they were fun to watch. They were attacking, they were going for it, and I know Everton was what, down 10 men, Jagielka got a card. Like I didn't get to see
was that
the
a red card? Was that a card?
I didn't get to see that.
I don't think it was a clear goal scoring opportunity though.
Yeah, so. But I think it was over the top of the ball, reckless.
It was reckless showing the studs. That's probably
the referee said it was because it was last man and if but really, I thought it was more reckless challenge. Yeah.
Malicious, yeah.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I think I watched maybe I was able to cut into the last 20 minutes of that game, and I thought it was fun to watch. Like, it looked like Wolves were going for it. There are a couple players on that squad that I actually thought about picking up for fantasy.
Ruben Neves.
Neves, yeah. And so we'll have to watch over the next coming weeks. Like, you know, that guy... And I picked the wrong Pickford. I picked the Wolves Pickford.
That's classic. He thought he was getting Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, I was wondering why I had so much money left in the bank for fantasy, and it all makes sense now. But, I look for Wolves to stay up. I think the bigger question here is, like, where do we see Everton this year? You know, I mean, they're kind of always that mid-table team, but every once in a while, well, like they can get in that
top
six.
Normally, they're more than that. Normally, they're like they are top, maybe not top six. They're like seven.
Top eight, top.
They're
seven,
probably
eight.
A lot of people say that they're the seventh best team. I think that's where most people have.
I don't know about that
because West Ham is in contention there. Burnley
West Ham
is in contention.
Got rolled. Yeah, I mean they look like crap. West Ham. Yeah, but I mean Everton.
Richarlison though. Looks like a really good signing.
Legit,
but still, £50 million is just huge money.
Well, I mean, he has returned.
I think he'll come good, though. Yeah. He seems like he's pretty spryly.
So
I think
how many goals does Richarlison end? Does he score 20?
No, I would say probably 12 to 15 is more of the ball.
Well, then he's not worth $50 million.
He might beat Everton.
Well, I mean, Everton has had a couple signings, and they got
three guys from Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of been their business the last couple of years. I mean, I agree with you, Alex, on one hand, where it's like, you know, you spend that kind of money, you definitely want 20 to 25 goals, but we're talking about Everton here. So, like, if Richarlison can get 15 and they get in that, like, top seven spot, you know, looking forward to the next season, I think that'd be a positive result for them.
And he is playing wide, so, you know.
So, you because he's out, he is the focal point of their team, you can tell, like. Every single chance they had, they were trying to get the ball to him.
I mean, I think they should have kept
that second goal he scored was class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was also like, Wolves, what are you doing? Like, you're not in the championship anymore. Like,
I think they really should have tried to, I think he was on loan, but Deulofeu thought that guy was a great player for Everton. But he went back. I think he went back.
No.
Is he still on the squad?
He's back with Everton. He wasn't even on the bench today.
Well, I mean, you get him in the mix. I mean, maybe you can put Richarlison like up top or
at second striker.
It sounds like they have some options. So, I've never been like a huge fan of Everton, but I've always had respect for their club.
Yeah, they can beat you on your day.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Goodison Park's a tough place to play. That's always been the case. You know, I there's probably been tons of teams that have dropped points.
Sure.
At Goodison over the years. And I mean, I just remember the days when they had, like, what was it, Gravison guy, like, went to
in the midfield
Madrid,
holding.
Gravison holding, like, bald guy.
Bald guy, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, good. Crickets.
Crickets. Yeah, crickets.
You're like, Gravison, who's all that? Right. So,
I know what he's talking about. Gravison, he's good.
So Huddersfield versus Chelsea. I mean, we already talked about Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, Huddersfield, I mean, I think they just got to stay up, right? That's what their goal has to be. They didn't.
Their goal is 40 points. I mean, 40 plus, like, to stay up.
And they didn't really buy a lot of players.
They don't have a good striker.
Like, no, they don't. I mean, if you look at their squad, you look down, up and down, you're like, the only player anyone really knows is that dude Moy.
Aaron Moy. From the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah. But he played last year.
Well, I know who Terrence Congolo is. He's good left.
Yeah,
left side.
I mean, he's good, but I mean,
Jorgensen, Schlinder.
Yeah, but like, these are not like world class players.
But why would he buy Ben Hamer, the goalkeeper?
I don't even know.
You just see the couple of passes that were just off the mark from the goalkeeper. You can't do that. You'll get punished if you.
Where was he? Where was he last year?
He played in Leicester about 2 years ago. Then they loaned him out, and then Huddersfield bought him from Leicester.
Got it.
All right. Well, then let's move on to Fulham versus Crystal Palace.
So this was a pretty fun game, I thought. I didn't get to see all of it, but the highlights I saw. I think Fulham are going to be a fun team to watch. Wolves and Fulham are both.
Hey, I'm glad to have them back in the Prem.
And Fulham, if you're getting over to London, there's almost always you can get tickets like towards the late.
The Cottage.
At Craven Cottage, exactly. And it's right there on the Thames. It's decently convenient to get to. I've been to a couple games there.
And it's a pretty old stadium, right? I mean, that's pretty legit, like a little time warp.
It is. Just depending on what seats you get, you better hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah, and they're a fun team, too. Young.
Sessignon, and they bought a couple players that are.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of Americans are gonna, you know, it's gonna strike a chord with them because I remember back in the day when I started watching the Prem, you know, you had Brian McBride, mm-hmm. Clint Dempsey. Like, I've actually seen a couple Fulham jerseys recently, you know, McBride or Dempsey, and I'm like, yeah, it's good to have them back in the Prem, man. It's been years now, like, so. Yeah. Another London top-flight club. You know, I think this is a good thing for the league.
Yeah, they played good a couple of years back when before they went down. They went to the Europa League final.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
Zamora and
Zamora.
Was that when Hodgson was still the manager?
He was.
All right, then.
But Crystal Palace, I mean, I think positivity there. This is the kind of game they would normally lose or draw last year. Zaha gets a goal. And
I heard he was leaving.
Wow, there's a lot of talk that Zaha is going to leave, but I don't think at this point.
So you should talk about that.
Tottenham wanted him, but it was crazy money, and with the stadium, just unlikely. And then Chelsea wanted to kind of poach
stadium,
him at
the first time he's mentioned that, huh?
Yeah. Hey, we'll talk more in depth.
Yeah, have fun with that the next 2 to 3 years. When you sell all your best players,
just so
I'm
bitter
laugh
because
at you
of what happened
time.
To Arsenal. Don't worry, Spurs will probably sell to like. Because they're owned by a private equity company right now, they'll probably sell to, like, I don't know, some billionaire that it doesn't really matter about the stadium finances.
But they have a good academy.
Very good academy. Like, Luke Amos played in the game the other day, and that's part of the reason they didn't buy, like, Jack Grealish from Aston Villa, for instance, because he's just as good as some of the guys in the academy, and it's like, why pay 30, 40 million pounds for some
guy he plays wide. You have, like, 6 wide men.
Yeah.
So there's no point.
Exactly. I mean, in the end, it was like the market was higher than they wanted to pay. I think the one player I would have loved for Spurs to have bought would have been Shaqiri, because his buyout clause was like $13 million or something crazy. Just to have someone like him to rotate in and score the amazing wonder goal that he did on the first game.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, like Liverpool, I think that's why they're going to be a little bit more successful this year. Like, they pretty much, as long as they're fit, they got 2 super subs now. Like, Shaqiri can either start or he can come and do the job, mm-hmm. you know, come in as a sub. And Sturridge. I mean, Sturridge scored what? Like, within a minute or two of coming on?
Not even 20 seconds. 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Crazy. But let's talk. So, Newcastle Spurs was the early game on Saturday. 2-1 Tottenham. David, how did you feel about Newcastle getting a loss there?
Well, I mean, Diame, look, I mean, I think he should have started Key, and I think Yedlin got hurt.
A lot of Americans aren't happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, kid can play.
How badly injured is Yedlin?
I think he's probably going to be out maybe a month or two. The knee's a little iffy. Well, in Spurs, I mean.
Yeah, we'll continue after the break, David. Time is now 20-7. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. Andrew's not happy right now. Yeah, it does that. This button, I can just keep tapping it and it doesn't do anything. Just letting
That's not good.
It's random there. Okay, so back to David about the game. Just not putting you on the spot or anything, David.
No, I mean, there's nothing said. Well, Muto looked good. I don't know if you got...
I don't even know who that is.
Number 13, Japanese player. He looked good with Rondon up top, but... I don't know, just another season
I mean, maybe Rondon has a little breakout. I mean, he's always been a solid player. Where has he been? West Brom?
West Brom, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like under Benitez, that's a player that could do a lot more than probably where he was.
Is he better than Gale? Dwight Gale?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dwight Gale went the other way?
Yeah. I mean, I think Fabian Schär should have played the Swiss center back.
And do you all still have Shelby?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played. Okay. He played. He got a red card in that same...
Yeah, he's still a bit of a hothead, but that, you know, I think that guy, he's definitely good on the ball.
Well, he played good, yes.
He played well.
He played
I think
good
so.
On Saturday.
But, I mean, ultimately, like, I think if you're... I'm surprised that you're not saying what I thought you were going to say, which was that you're unlucky not to get at least a point out of the game. You guys hit the crossbar twice.
Well, no,
and
well, I mean...
you had other chances. So well, did Spurs, but, you know, no, maybe 2-1 wasn't the most...
The defeat was right. I mean... Diame gave the ball away, what, 80% of the time he got it? And Ayoze Perez, it took him 80 minutes to take him out. So, I mean, we lost because, well, the midfield wasn't
For me, Spurs, it's you look at them and you say they had still a little bit of a World Cup hangover.
But see, that's why they're going to be a top three contender, because games like that, they can just win.
Exactly.
Without even... you know, doing too much.
Well, that's super important, is that you can kill off games, kind of take the possession. But, you know, really, they didn't do a very good job of that. I mean, in the second half alone, you guys hit the crossbar and the post. I mean, there were plenty of other
chances. You guys have a great goalkeeper. I mean...
Yeah, and Lloris
the best
had,
in the world, Lloris actually, had, according to Alex.
Hey, he's the World Cup winner. What goalkeeper won the World Cup
yeah.
this year, Mark?
Well...
and he's the captain, too.
How about that Howler?
Hey,
I perfectly predicted that scoreline. If I had bet money and Hugo Lloris had cost me money, I would have killed you.
Hey,
by a spud.
But I think talking points. Kane still hasn't scored in August. Kind of hilarious.
He will.
Given his exploits everywhere else. He did not look fit for the game. I mean, he looked sluggish. Honestly, I don't know what's going on with him. I feel like he's.
Well, it's the World Cup, right?
Someone's not right.
Well, he's sad.
I feel like he's had...
Well, what did he say to Pochettino? He called him a gaffer or something? Because he was like,
gaffer just means manager.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
he thought it was an insult. You gaffer.
It kind of does sound like it.
No, it's not.
The gaffer. Just the manager.
The boss.
I mean, yeah, I mean...
The governor.
I think that's an interesting conversation to have real quick. Like, who's going to be the Golden Boot winner this year? You know, who's going to get the most goals in the league?
I think most people would say Salah, right? He's got to be the odds-on favorite with Kane.
I don't know. I mean, he plays on the wing, so...
Well, he had 40 or 50 goals last year.
I know. I know, but I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Goal to do that once a season.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's not Ronaldo.
So, exactly. So, he's not Ronaldo, but Ronaldo can score that many, and he scored more than Ronaldo last year. Why can't he keep that up?
I think defenses are going to be privy to him. Yeah. Like, you know,
sure.
It's like...
They were last year, too, and they couldn't stop him. He's so fast. He's got great touch. I mean, I think that is... Honestly, I think that the... If I was a betting man, I would put my money on Aguero because he's probably got better odds. And if he can stay healthy with the way that City play, I mean, they led the league in scoring last year, obviously, and...
But they spread it around, you know. They weren't just, you know, dependent on one player.
Yeah, but they spread it around, but that doesn't mean that, like, he doesn't have just as many chances as Salah in most games.
Yeah, and Aguero has, what, De Bruyne?
Yeah, he's got De Bruyne.
Sané.
Yeah, he's got, and Jesus,
Gundogan,
of course. And all sorts of...
You know who I think might win it? Alba.
Of course, Aubameyang, the Arsenal supporter.
He scored 14 goals in half a season, and he didn't even play in Europa League.
Well, that was probably helping him, because he could rest.
No, he would have scored at least 3 to 4 more goals if he had played in Europa, and we might have won.
He would have scored more goals, sure.
Yeah. To be honest, I think if he plays with Lacazette, yeah, he will get that.
But it looked like today, Arsenal played Aubameyang, and then they subbed him out for Lacazette at some
point. No, they didn't sub him. He just moved to the wing once Laka came in.
Well, I think that should...
But the key is what I'm saying is they're not starting with like two strikers.
No, we're not going to start
City.
Two up top. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You mean crazy?
I mean, maybe against the bottom feeding teams, like, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing that.
Well,
like,
that was the problem with Wenger last year, is that he would always play one striker up top. He would never play two, and he would kind of be defensive. And Mourinho's the same way. They don't play two strikers against teams that, you basically should be playing two because you're going to have the ball so much. So it's some managers are they have their system and they want to play it one way. You know, plan A is to play the system, plan B is
missionary.
Is to do plan A better, you know? It's like
it's because you want to get the system cemented in the player. So when the big games come,
there you know like where Spurs, you know Spurs where you're can supposed play to be like on the three pitch. Or four yeah. different lineups. Spurs can play 3-5-2, like 3-4-3. I mean, they can play, I mean...
Well, just like City, who can play like good.
Well, but that's my point, is that it's important to be able to play in a number of different formations and change your shape and give your opponent something to think about, where, like, if you play a certain style in a certain formation, you may kind of have them beaten before the game's even started, right. From a technical perspective. But when you're so one-dimensional, like Arsenal have been over the years, and we'll see if Emery changes that.
I think he will.
I would hope he would. But, I mean, that was some of the commentary that the NBC guys were saying, was that they wish that they saw something different. Because it seemed as though it was the same Wenger team out there, basically. Like, if you saw that game and you would... And you said it was from last year, no one would have really
questioned
that. Well,
I mean, they didn't really have a natural left back. And they had a couple of signings that need to get used to the system. So,
I think little Sideshow Bob's going to be a great player.
Who is?
Guendouzi.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah, he won man of the match in a couple of our preseason fixtures. I think Lucas Torreira is going to be really good. I kind of think that Emery, coming from PSG, I think he's found two players. So these are the two players I think he has kind of found. So, like, he had Rabiot and Verratti at PSG, and both of those kids are really good. Like, they're both technical, they know where to be on the pitch, they're comfortable on the ball. I think that Emery has found two players that are just like that.
Yep.
That he got on the cheap, and I guarantee you, like 3-4 months from now, people are going to be like, these players are good.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Rabiot, you know, Guendouzi's very similar to Rabiot. Technical, tall, like going on the challenge.
He jumped off the screen at me. I was like, who is this guy? He's legit.
Yeah. And
how much did you pay for him, or was he in the academy?
No. Guendouzi came from PSG, and I'm not sure where Torreira came from. He's the Uruguayan kid.
Italy.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, Sampdoria. Mm-hmm. He came from Sampdoria. So, like, these players are young, but they're not afraid to go in on a tackle. And they're technical, and they're strong. And if Emery... I think what Emery's going to bring to the club is a knowledge of, like, where these players need to be on the pitch. And I think Wenger got to a point where, like, the starting lineup was just way too safe. It was complacent. Like, we lost a lot of games because he was not going to change his tactics. Whereas now, I think Emery is going to look at game to game. He's going to have these players prepared. And if you're not performing, you're not going to play.
But if you're going to say that, and the NBC guys said this as well, Ozil, still starting.
I know.
Making minimal impact on the game. Refuses to play defense. If Emery has to get the defense to be better. Arsenal let in 50-something goals, more than they've let in a long time. That's the number one thing he's got to do, is to fix the defense. And if you have one set of standards for Ozil and another for the rest of the team, it's just not going to work.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So if that's the case, then Ozil's got to be rotated out of
the game. Well, I saw him defend a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, just because you're physically there doesn't mean you're defending. Like, yeah.
Well, with the Uruguayan kid, I think.
Oh, the Uruguayan kid, yeah, maybe. I'm talking about Ozil.
With him, he can release the other kid and release Ozil.
Ozil needs a babysitter. He's needed for a while, and I think Emery will figure that out.
Well, yeah. There's a babysitter.
Because when he was in Spain and playing for Madrid, he never had to play defense, and they were a very successful club then.
Sure, but the reality is that if if you refuse to play defense and you're playing in the role that he is, where you have to play both, or else the team's going to let goals in, he's going to get rotated out because Arsenal has a strong squad with other players that can play that and play two ways. Right now, Ozil's a one-dimensional player. He may be trying to get better, but ultimately it's about.
I mean, I wanted to keep Jack Wilshere, obviously.
Jackie boy.
Sell Ozil. Like,
old wheelchair.
Yeah, funny.
Where did Wilshere go again?
He's at West Ham. He's a hammer. Mm. His parents are hammers.
Okay.
And they got hammered today by Liverpool.
And they probably got hammered after the game, too.
Right.
Or maybe before.
Well, hopefully not before, right? You know, that's...
You're going to watch the
game. Probably in the press box, bro.
Oh, you're talking about the parents. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Liverpool just rolled today. 4-0 over West Ham.
What about Southampton versus Burnley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
there were no goals.
Say about that. Expected from Southampton.
I think Southampton could be one of the teams to drop.
They barely stayed up last year.
Yeah, they did.
So, more than likely, they're done.
They're damn.
Done.
All right, so, yeah, Liverpool versus West Ham.
I mean, what? The show gets started off with a bang. Salah, Mane with a brace. Granted, one was offsides, right?
West Ham went defensive. You throw Felipe Anderson at wide. Oh, you throw him in the middle with Arnautovic up top.
It was a poor showing from West Ham, yeah. But in some ways I felt like pretty much any sacrificial lamb that went into Anfield would have happened as well in the first game of the season.
Maybe Everton.
Liverpool always shows up for the first game of the season, because I think the first time we did Blokes 2 years ago, Andy, wasn't it? We were watching Arsenal-Liverpool at your place, and Liverpool basically rolled Arsenal. So,
well, that's eight seasons Liverpool, they won.
Well, yeah, I think opener. Liverpool has a habit of, like, you know, coming out big on opening day, but they got to sustain it, and I think they will. Like, they're dangerous. Like, I think this is going to be, I hate to say it, probably a shootout between Liverpool and Man City this year.
Which I think will be good for the league, because last year the problem was that City won it, and it felt like March, basically. And really, even before that, it was a done deal where it just seems...
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
You hope not. You hope it's more competitive and that Liverpool or Spurs or, hey, anybody can challenge them and give them a run for their money.
I actually hope Spurs don't challenge them, but...
Well, we know that Arsenal won't, so we don't even need to think about that.
Ooh.
But I think that one thing... So we said that Mane's goal was offsides. Right, I think we all saw the replay.
Yeah, it was.
And then there was at least a couple other decisions throughout other games.
The second or third goal was kind of like
that was
offsides too. Like,
well, that was the Mane goal. The there were a couple of things where it was like, wow, if replay was in the Premier League, that would have been overturned. Like, I think there would have been a conversation about the red card. There was a penalty that was given in. I guess it was the Chelsea game that was pretty weak. There were a couple others that were just questions that made you had you scratching your head, and you're like, would that have stood in the World Cup? And what I think is sad for the league this year is that the teams made the decision not to use replay before the World Cup, when it was semi unsuccessful with the FA Cup last year. But it was a resounding success in the World Cup, and
you think so?
Oh yeah, I think that there were. I mean, what were the negatives? Let's put it that way, because there were so many good positives.
Maybe too slow.
Maybe too slow. Sure, but I don't think it impacted the game nearly as much as I was expecting. And I watched a good amount of the games in the World Cup because I was on vacation for a good percentage of it. And I mean, most people were saying that it was a success. And I think that if the Premier League had waited to vote on it until after the World Cup, we'd have it right now. But they didn't wait. They made the decision in May or whatever it was.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's the end of the games. So let's go through some of the fixtures that we have coming up. So the 18th of Saturday, the 18th, Cardiff versus Newcastle is the first game, 7:30.
That's a win.
For who?
For Newcastle.
Of course. Now, I think Cardiff are going to be 20th. And
I even predict the scoreline, 2-0.
Where is the game?
It's Cardiff.
Yeah, 2-0.
Cardiff City Stadium.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree with that. Maybe not the score, but the win.
Let's get through the upcoming fixtures. All right.
Everton versus Southampton.
You would expect Everton to win that game?
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, Leicester versus Wolves.
This one will be another barn burner, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a good game to watch. You're both going to go for it.
A draw.
Draw?
Yeah.
Probably a high-scoring draw, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs versus Fulham.
Fulham.
Spurs.
Draw.
Is it at Craven Cottage, Andy?
No. No, it's your boys.
Yeah, but I think they're playing it at Wembley.
Yeah, your first home game doesn't come until, I think, October.
No, I think it's mid-September. So it's like September 15th, I believe.
Just remember to put the seat down.
Remember to put the seat. Yeah. All right, so yeah. Let's see. West Ham versus Bournemouth.
West Ham.
Where is that?
That's at West Ham, Sean. The London Stadium.
I'm going to go with draw.
West Ham.
West Ham would probably be the better bet.
Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Ooh.
Arsenal's got
Come on, Arsenal.
Two games.
At Stamford.
Where? It's at Stamford.
Arsenal are going to lose.
Draw.
No, I think we'll win. We already beat them in preseason, so
yeah,
I think we're going to win.
That's when they're playing the best squad.
Yeah, that's a litmus test.
I mean, the game was 2 weeks ago. I was in Philadelphia. Actually, it was last week. It was recently, okay? So it's not like much has changed.
Yeah, but neither team were playing their top 11.
Was that in the ICC or whatever it was? Or?
Yeah, it was ICC.
Which, by the way,
congratulations,
Spurs,
Alex.
Spurs won
put that,
the cup.
Put that in the trophy case.
Spurs won it.
You did?
How does that work?
Their first trophy.
I don't remember even
it's
hearing.
It's based on wins, losses, and goal differential. And
Are you happy to have that in your trophy case?
I mean, I'm happier than losing it, you know, and...
You're going to have like a separate wing to show that one off?
Yeah. Well, we've got so much extra room now in the new place. We may very well do that.
Burnley versus Watford.
For the trophies you haven't won over here.
Watford.
Man City versus Huddersfield.
I'm going to say draw on the last one. So.
Man City versus Huddersfield. Because remember Huddersfield last year turned it
Man
on.
Man City 5-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say 6. So
I might have to captain Aguero in that match.
All right, and Brighton versus United.
Where is that?
That was a Brighton ground.
And didn't Brighton beat United?
Should it matter? Like,
no, yeah. that was Huddersfield.
Was it Huddersfield?
United 2-0.
Brighton.
Brighton.
What about Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, which is the Monday game? So there's a Monday game next week.
That might be a barn burner, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to go draw 3-3.
Draw. Yeah.
3-3. And you're all saying that Liverpool are going to
draw?
I didn't say a draw.
What did you say?
I mean, I think Liverpool's probably going to roll them, but I'd like to see a match.
True. All right, guys.
And Zaha scoring some goals.
Yeah. That's about it for this week, Mark. We'll be back next week so we can laugh at you getting
stomped on. Going down, two L's to start off.
Chelsea are going to roll. We're going to be in the drop zone this time next year.
All right, guys. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
And David.
And we'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.